And good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the morning show here at 88.5 KRFY. And this is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. We are live in the KRFY studios this morning, and this is the morning show. I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts.
And I'm your co-host this morning, Susie, Chris Bessler. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm always doing great when the sun is out. What do you think about that?
Well, we had a glorious day yesterday. It's going to be a nice day today.
Mm-hmm.
Then who knows? It might go south a little bit. Yep. But we have a great show for folks today. We have the two candidates from Zone 2 for the school trustee election in with us. That's Gary Supiger and Richard Miller. Say hi, Richard, just to get a fix on your voice.
Hi, Richard.
And Gary.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you both for coming in.
I have a feeling on this beautiful Wednesday, May 10th, I'm going to get a few chuckles out of this morning show for some reason. I don't know why. But anyways, I suppose we want to hear the weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, it's 46 degrees. Today, we can expect a high of 76, sunny, and light and variable winds, whatever that means, I'm not sure. But mostly clear tonight, low 48. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms 40%, a high of 76. And then Thursday night, a 90% chance of heavy rain and then showers. There's a difference between heavy rain and showers, and a low of 48. I'm not going to go too much further. I imagine the sun will pop out a little bit during the next bit of rain.
Yeah, it'll probably be fairly warm too. So we have that, even if it's going to be wet. A couple other things going on. We're at full moon right now. It was early this morning. And if you're outside, you can look up and see Saturn rising before midnight. It's very bright in the sky. That's pretty cool. Sunrise this morning was at 4:15 a.m. It'll set at 8:11 p.m. tonight. In the past week, with the days getting longer, we've gained 19 minutes of daylight per day. So that's pretty good news.
We'll cheer for that.
Right there. The lake level is now coming up. They're finally filling the lake. They've been holding it down because they're expecting a big spring runoff. It's come up just about a foot in the past 7 days, and it will be coming up every day now as they're capturing the spring runoff for the reservoir. Other things going on around town. Well, it's Mother's Day. It's a big event.
It's Mother's Day coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think probably the biggest thing happening in town this week is we have a school board election on Tuesday. That's May 16th. And tonight there's going to be a candidates forum for the school trustee races, or three races with two candidates each. That's from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. tonight at the Columbia Bank building.
And KRFY is a co-sponsor of that with Keoki or Sandpoint Online and the Sandpoint Reader. And we will be there. I don't call it streaming. We're going to be broadcasting live. So you can, if you can't make it to the forum at the Columbia Bank building between 5:30 and 7:30, you can tune in to 88.5 starting at 5:30, and we will be broadcasting.
Yep. So it'll be live on the air. You can also catch our live stream for KRFY if you go to KRFY.org. You don't have to be near a radio. As well as Sandpoint Online is going to be streaming the forum via Facebook, which is kind of new territory for Sandpoint Online. So we'll see how well that works out. But you'll have a lot of opportunities to weigh in and see the candidates tonight.
And as we know, if you're informed and you get information that makes sense to you, then you can become a better informed voter and get out and vote.
And that, again, is next Tuesday, May 16th. And with that, let's get into today's interviews. We have, again, the candidates for trustee Zone 2, which is the south part of the county. And Rob, you guys know this better than I do, but it's an area that's, I believe, west of Highway 2, south of the lake. Go ahead, Richard. You tell us.
Actually, it's west of Highway 95.
Highway 95, excuse me. Yes.
Yeah. And that would include Westman, Kokalala, Southside, let's see, Kerrywood, and Kelso Lake, I believe. There's some little slivers of other things, but who knows?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, it's an L-shaped zone. It starts at the Long Bridge, it goes south on the west side of Highway 95 to the Duford Road, which is the division between the Sagal Elementary School and the Southside Elementary School. And then from the Duford Road, both sides of the highway, south all the way to the Bonner County line. So it's a big area.
It's a big area. So and typically, we do not have a big turnout for school board elections. So I hope that we have folks listening or that are engaged in this election this year, and we'll get out and vote.
Do you know how many voters live in that Zone 2 area?
Well, I've been told there's about 3,600 registered voters in our zone, which is consistent with the other zones.
Right.
They're all equalized.
The zones are supposed to be of all fairly equal population.
That's right.
So, and that's why sometimes the zones take odd shapes, because in our rural area, you got to take in a lot of land area to get some people in there. But with that, let's start our interview. And what we want to start with is 2 to 3 minutes for each of you to tell us a bit about yourself and introduce yourself to the voters. And why don't we start with you, Gary Suppiger?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank KRFY and Chris and Susie for having us here this morning. I do think that this election is very important. There is a clear choice in this community, and the more informed our voters are, the better decision they can make. My name's Gary Suppiger. I am a parent and a business owner. My wife and I raised 3 children in Bonner County. We've lived here for 25 years. All our 3 children went to Lake Pendere schools for K through 12. They all thrived in the schools. They were all involved, not only in the classroom, but outside the classroom. They took challenging college preparatory classes. They participated in leadership, band, art, academic competition, service clubs, and athletics. They chose to pursue education beyond high school. They were admitted to very selective colleges and are now pursuing their careers. My wife and I are very thankful to the school district, because we don't believe that our children's success would have been possible without the background they received in this school district. So as a way to give back to this community, I am seeking this school board position. I believe that education is an investment that pays back many times, not only to the educated, but to the community overall, with the growth and prosperity that it stimulates.
Okay, thank you, Gary Suppiger. And now, Richard Miller, go ahead and introduce yourself. You got a couple minutes.
Hi, I'm Richard Miller. I'm running for the honor of trustee, Zone 2. I've been living here, we've been here about 20 years. My daughter was a graduate of Sandpoint High School, 2014. She went K-12, graduated with honors. She's down at the University of Idaho right now. Go Vandals. And she's studying and doing well. The school district, as far as my opinion, is a pretty good school district. We need to concentrate more, however, on things like vocational training, career training, and life skills for the students that aren't going to be going to college immediately, and help them succeed.
Thank you very much, Richard. A little bit of a follow-up question to your overall introduction. What, and we'll start with Richard, what skills or qualifications do you feel you have to bring to the school board as a trustee?
Well, I've been a contractor in Sandpoint here for over 20 years. I've been running my own businesses for 40 years. I'd have to say that between business and being a contractor and realizing some of the things that are necessary for people that aren't going to be going to college, that I'd like to see those programs that I previously discussed expounded on. Of course, everybody says they have problem-solving skills and ability to work with people. And I guess that's all I've got to say.
Okay. A little follow-up on that while we're introducing you to folks. Okay. Can you tell us, have you held any other public offices, elective offices before, and are there any nonprofit or service groups or relevant professional organizations that you would mention as part of your qualifications?
No, I've never held office before. As far as relevant organizations, well, I've been involved with the Injectors Car Club, a local car club here, for at least 10 years. I was on the board with them for 2 or 3 years, and we support, through the car club, hospice, I believe Toys for Tots, Senior Center. We put on a barbecue there, and we've got one coming up in June to raise money for the Senior Center. I believe there's other ones, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. And personally, we've supported Life Choices, JC's Race. We're involved in the committee for that sort of thing.
Okay. Thank you, sure. Richard Miller.
And Gary, the same question to start out. What qualifications or skills or life experiences do you feel that you can bring to the school board trustees as a trustee?
Well, specifically in education, beside being the parent of three children that thrived in the district and went kindergarten through 12. And by the way, I was never a parent that sat on the sidelines. I attended and participated in all their events. And if I saw something during their education that I thought could be done better, I was quick to send an email or make a telephone call to those involved. I have volunteered in the schools extensively. I've been the elementary school math coach at Sagal School for the last 12 years. The Sagal math team is a group of 4th, 5th, and 6th graders that meet 2 mornings a week. We work on advanced elementary mathematics principles. The highlight of our year every year is we participate in a couple of competitions. The first one's here in North Idaho. The second one's an overnight trip where we go to Spokane and we compete against teams from all over Eastern Washington. This year, our team got a second place ribbon in Washington, which is incredible considering we're competing against dozens of teams from elementary schools all over from Eastern Washington. I've also done a lot of other things. I'm in the forest products business. I own a small mill. I employ 30 people. I know the forestry business, so I have trained and escorted children to the Idaho State Forestry Contest, which is going on this week down at DeLay Farms again. I've also been involved in the Mars Rover competition. I've advised seniors on their senior projects. I've been a science fair judge. I've been an Acadeca judge. I've worked with the Sandpoint High School Math Club on fundraising and addressed them about natural resource mathematics. I've been extensively involved in athletics. I coached soccer at the recreation level and at the strikers level for many years. I had a strikers team for 6 years. I've been involved with tennis, basketball, track, skiing. So I have a lot of experience with kids in the community.
Thank you. We got another minute if you'd like to take that time, Richard, to expand on anything.
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so first question, I guess we start with you, Gary. Why don't you describe the top 3 to 4 issues that you feel are most important in this race as relates to the school district?
Well, my number one issue is quality. My campaign platform is quality and accountability. I believe the school district's on the right track, that we're offering a quality education to our children. I believe things are always changing and things can always get better. I want to build on that success and continue on the track to quality education. The second thing I want to bring to the board is accountability. I'm a small businessman. As Richard is, every check that I sign for my business, you know, comes right out of my pocket. So I understand economy and value and budgeting, and I would like to bring those same skills to the school board. You know, I will be just as frugal with the school board's funds as I am with my own. The third thing I want to bring to the school board is teachers. You know, teachers are the heart of education. In the classroom is where the magic happens. So my focus in the school board room would be to interview, hire, retain quality teachers, and support them as much as possible. Support them with continuing education. Support them with curriculum. Support them with technology. Support them with fine facilities so that they can do their jobs.
Great. Thank you. Richard Miller, same question to you. What are the top three or four issues that are motivating you to run for the school district?
Well, the people that I've talked to in our zone in the last 8 weeks have voiced a concern about the communication from the district, especially on fiscal issues. And in talking with Sean Woodward last week, he admitted that they haven't done a very comprehensive job of communicating the concerns with the taxpayers and on their budgets and stuff. And he said they're going to be trying to do better on that. That I think is a major concern. And I think we need to encourage real world skill sets, like through trade and vocational skills for the students that aren't going to college. I think there's a possibility if we figure out how to run the levies on a normal voting cycle, that saves about $72,000 when we run them off cycle. And I think there's probably a way to do it, although I don't have the answer on that yet. There should be a way to do it. And I guess the fourth thing that I'm concerned about are aging facilities and the deferred maintenance for the last 10 years on them. In looking at them and going to some of the forums on the building levy before it passed, or didn't pass, excuse me, it's clear that the buildings need some help, possibly replacing. But I think we need to explore that a lot deeper and more conclusively before we decide to tear them down and build new ones. So I'm concerned about that and keeping most of that work that does go out to our local tradesmen. This is their community, this is their money, and we have a lot of really talented people here that are willing to do the work.
Okay, thank you. Next question actually goes to you to answer first. Richard, do you believe the district is currently doing a good job?
You know, academically, it appears as they are. I've seen reports through the U.S. News and World Report showing percentages of college readiness at 26 out of 100. Whether you call that a percentage or not, I guess it depends on how you look at it. In that respect, I'd say there's a certain segment of the school body who are doing well academically. There's a large segment that maybe are underserved and would be better if we had programs that would serve their needs so when they graduate high school, they have an opportunity to make a living and contribute to the community and be able to stay here.
A little follow-up question there. What segment would that be?
Well, that would be the, I believe according to the Idaho Department of Education, only 45% of the students graduating from Sandpoint High School will have one additional year of schooling of any kind by the time they're 35 years old. So that's approximately 55% that aren't going to be going to college or have any further education like that. That would be trade tech, vocational training, all those type of skill sets.
Okay, thank you. Same question to you, Gary Supiger.
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 We We do have successful schools. I'm proud of our schools. They're high-achieving schools. Our administrators and teachers are doing an excellent job of educating our students. Our high school, Sandpoint High School, was just rated within the last week as the number two high school in the state. That's overall. That includes charter schools, parochial schools, schools of all classes. We're number two. That's something to be proud of. Our graduation percentage at 95% is definitely something to be proud of. That puts us in the highest level in the state. The College Board, which is a national ranking, rates us in the upper tier of our College Board scores. We're well above the state average in how our students perform on college preparatory examinations. I dispute some of Richard's figures, because my studies tell us that 65% of our students go directly into college after high school. That's as compared to a state average of 51%. The College Board has said that based on college testing, 71% of our students are college ready. That's just at our high school. And I'd also like to acknowledge, you know, the elementary school, you know, in Richard and I's zone, Southside Elementary, which has been rated by the federal government as a, quote, distinguished school. It's one of two in the state, 57 in the nation, to receive this very prestigious award. So our schools are high performing. You know, I'm proud of them. You know, we can always improve, but, you know, we certainly want to build on our success.
Well, thank you very much, Gary Supiger.
Sorry, we've been messing your name up.
Thank you for helping us with that. I want to get back to the mention of the levy. Last August, the school district proposed a $55 million plant facility levy to rebuild various schools and to correct falling down schools and things like that. And we know that that did not pass by an overwhelming vote of 65% against. But the fact that the schools and the facilities are degenerating and we do need to do something different and take care of that situation, a $55 million levy might not be the answer, but what could possibly be the answer? It can't be ignored. And Chris, it looks like you want to say something.
Well, I'd also add, let us know, did you support or oppose the levy as you answer that question? And I think you're first, Gary.
I chose not to support that levy. The reason I did not support that levy was I just thought $55 million was too big a number for this community. I supported most of the items on that levy. I would have supported a smaller levy for our most immediate needs, which are the middle school and the alternative school. I was on the district facilities levy committee in 2009 when the district ran their last successful levy. At that time, we hired an engineer, you know, to examine our buildings from a structural and safety standpoint. I remember the report on the middle school. The middle school came back. The good news was the building is sound. It's not going to fall down. The bad news, the engineers reported, was that just about everything in it was wore out. The boiler was wore out. The wiring was wore out. The plumbing was wore out. The windows were inefficient. The roof needed repairs. The lighting was inadequate. And at that time, we chose, you know, to fund elementary schools' growth because Kootenai School and Sagal School both needed additional classrooms because we were growing. And we chose not to put any money into middle school because the cost to the infrastructure to bring the building up to current code would have been excessive. And even if we would have invested all this money to put in this school. The educators told us that we still had a school that didn't meet the modern model for education. You know, it's an old building with narrow hallways. You know, it's got small classrooms. And the educators took us down to Woodland Middle School and looked at the modern model for education, where the classrooms are in pods, where it's more open, where there's more light, where they have technology in the pods. Would have been a much better model for education.
So are you saying that there are answers out there and it's not necessarily what was presented last August?
Absolutely. You know, I would have supported a much more measured approach to facilities. We need facilities. Our middle school and our alternative school are our highest needs. I would have supported, you know, a smaller levy to address those two needs first. And then after we finish that project, to move on to the next one on the list.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gary. And Richard, the same question. Do you want me to repeat it?
No.
Okay.
Thanks anyway. Well, no, I did not support it. I went to the meetings that they had at the schools and looked at what they presented. And clearly, some of the schools, at least the ones I saw, are in need of either updating, renovation, or possibly replacement. I think the biggest problem the district had on this was trying to take on too much at once. And from at least the people that I know that I talked to in our district and other people, they were concerned that perhaps the district didn't have the management skills necessary to be able to handle multiple schools at the same time. So there's a little bit of a, I suppose, credibility gap. I believe if they were to try one school and do a bond levy instead of a general levy, so we can spread it out over a longer period of time, and do a small project and do it on time, on budget, right, I think they'd have the support of the public. And then we could get on to the other projects. And yes, the schools, they kicked the maintenance of these schools down 10 years. So there are issues. They're not irredeemable buildings. Look what happened to the old middle school that they said, oh, it was no good, and they were going to tear it down. Well, now it's called the Sandpoint Event Center, a beautiful building. I wish I'd have had the millions of dollars to fix it up, but there you go. So I think that there's, if the public knows what's really going on and we have this information out, I think they'd get the support of the public. Thank you.
And thank you, Richard Miller. And I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show here. And this is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And we're here talking with Zone 2 candidates for the trustee positions. The vote is coming up May 16th. We have Gary Supiger and Richard Miller. So, Chris, I bet you have a question.
Stay on the question of levies. So we just passed in March a $17 million supplemental instructional levy, and that one passed with kind of the opposite of the results we had with the building facility levy. 64% voted in favor of that. And we'll start with you, Richard. Did you vote for or against this levy, and why?
I voted against that levy, and mainly for the same reasons as we did the last ones, where I wanted, being a businessman, I can read ledger sheets. I know budgeting. And when I asked for it, the information that I got wasn't digestible the way it was presented. And I brought this up to Sean Woodward here just last week when I met with him, and he agreed that they need to revamp how they report the information so the public can understand exactly what's going on. I think that I also knew that because of a prior board meeting that they said that if this levy didn't go through, they were going to rerun it in May. So the way I looked at it, well, by then maybe I'd have the information and the public would have the information to be able to support it. But there is no question that we are underfunded as a school district, as most of them are in the state. We need the funding. And even the people I talked to in our district, and 57% voted against the levy, said they'd be happy to support it if they could get answers on the actual budget. So I think it's a communications problem more than a logistics problem.
Okay. Gary Supiger, same question to you.
I enthusiastically supported this levy. This, I'd like to emphasize, this was an essential levy. Now, the district relies 30% on its funds from the support of its patrons in the farms of the levies that we run every other year. This levy supported rural schools. It supported reasonable classroom sizes. It supported extracurricular activities. It supported technology. You know, without these funds, our district would just be a shadow of itself. I'd like to challenge Richard on his non-support for the levy. I personally contacted three of the incumbent trustees over the weekend and got their feedback on whether this levy would have been offered for a lower amount at a later date, and they were all emphatically said no. They said, we put 5 months into preparing this levy. This was a collaborative process. This was a compromise levy. We considered levies anywhere from $15 to $20 million. And based on the testimony and the input from the community during the process, they chose a compromise levy in the middle, about $18 million. They felt that if the levy did not pass in March, that would have been two levies in a row in this district that did not pass. And the trustees that I talked to, three of them, were very clear on this, that it would not have been run. That would have been two levies in a row that passed. It would not have been run. And right now we would be talking about, you know, a 30% reduction in budget, including closing rural schools. Southside School in our zone would have been at the top of the list for schools that would have been closed.
Okay. And Richard, looks like you would like to have a rebuttal on that.
Just a clarification. I didn't say they were going to run a smaller levy. They would have run exactly the same levy. And the problem, as I say, wasn't the amount of the levy. It was the information that the voters felt that they didn't have. So it would have been the same levy run now again.
Okay. Gary, follow up on that?
I'm confused, Richard. You supported the levy, but you didn't vote for it. You would have voted for it at a later date. Why didn't you vote for it on the date that it was first offered?
Well, hear me, Gary. Just listen. I asked for information about the levy. I did not get information that made sense to me about why it had gone up $1 million. All I wanted was information. I thought that I voted no because the same as 57% of the rest of the district, for lack of information, knowing that they would run the same levy again in May, which is coming up, and by then I would have been able to get what information that I needed regarding this.
Richard, I think that was an irresponsible vote. I'd like to point out that the levy did pass district-wide by almost a 2-to-1 margin. From Sagal North, the precinct supported it. There were some precincts on the southern end of our zone that did not support it, but district-wide, it went through by a 2-to-1 margin. I have found in all my experience in business and government and education, you know, from a 35-year career, I have found that education is the most approachable and the most responsible to its patrons. I made some inquiries to the district. I contacted the district, some administrators, some current trustees, the district financial officer. I didn't have any trouble finding the information necessary to support my vote in favor of the levy.
Good for you, Gary. You know, however, 57% of our district did.
I'm a little bit off on these numbers here. If 64% actually did pass vote in favor of the levy, how does 50?
Well, their zone.
Oh, their zone. Okay.
Yeah, zone two specifically.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Sorry about that.
Well, one of the things I keep hearing both of you talk about is accountability, transparency, communication, and it's always a challenge because a lot of times people don't attend meetings. So there's various ways, such as come on KRFY and talk about the issues. And next time there's a budget, maybe we'll do that with the school district, have them come on and explain what they're doing and why they're doing it. But as a trustee, anyone who's in that position will have that challenge to bring, it's always going to be there, more transparency, communication, and accountability. What are some suggestions actually to make it better? Because I know they're doing a great job and they're trying as hard as they can, but how, and we always want to strive to do better. What are some ideas?
Gary's first.
Okay, Gary.
I'm going to agree with Richard 100%. I think one of the district's failures is in public relations. We need to be more transparent. We need to be more inclusive. We need to include more input into our decision making. School district accounting is an unbelievably difficult venture. The codes and the regulations and the accounts for school district are incredible. We have satisfied our audits and accreditations with A pluses in recent years, but that satisfies the state. That doesn't satisfy the patrons. I think we need to digest the budget and put it in a simple form and publish it in the newspaper, in a way that our patrons, our supporters can understand it. Absolutely. The school district needs to account, for the monies that they receive locally, just like we have to account for the monies we receive from the state in our audits and our accreditation. That's our system. That's our promise. We need to do a better job of that.
And Richard, the same question. To improve over their amazing work they've already been doing, how can we bring more accountability, communication, transparency as a trustees, their job?
Well, first of all, I don't believe there's any malfeasance of any kind at the district. It's simply a matter of communication. And if you want to know a better way to do it, ask the people what format they'd like to see it. Because ultimately, they have to be able to look at this and say, oh, I understand this and I understand that. And, oh, it's more for this year than it was last year. So you got to keep it simple. But listen to the people in your zone that they'll talk to the trustee and say, hey, I want to know about this. Why? I want to see it presented this way. So it's going to be simple, and give them what they need to make a decision that's beneficial.
Sounds like a survey to me, possibly.
Well, no, but not a survey so much, but if somebody calls, like I talked to a fellow just had him breakfast, was it yesterday or the day before? And he said, I'd like to see how it's broken down this way. So there is no clear answer, and until actually we're on the board and have access to it, and then people say, okay, tell me about this, and tell them what they want to know. Tell them the way they want to hear it.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Remind our listeners, this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie as your hosts, and we're speaking today with the school trustee candidates for Zone 2, Gary Supiger and Richard Miller. And let's turn the questions now to curriculum. And I think you go first, Richard. What changes, if any, would you seek in the district's curriculum? And I'll tag on another question. Do you think technology is an important part of what our kids should be learning now?
Well, I'll start with technology, of course, because the world's becoming more digital as it goes. And more so every day. I was reading something just the other day that say by 2030, in the cities, more than 70% of the vehicles will be self-driving electric cars. Wow, that's a lot of technological changes. So there is a place for technology in the schools, of course. And as far as how I would change the curriculum, I'm not educated in different types of curriculum and different options there. From the people that I know that are teachers, they're saying they don't like Common Core because it tends to leave some people behind, and it's not what they're used to teaching or want to teach. I can't make a decision either way at this point because I simply don't have enough information on it.
Okay. Thank you. Gary Supiger, same question to you. What changes, if any, would you seek in the district's curriculum, and what role do you think technology should play in the curriculum?
Well, technology, information technology is the future. Technology has to be incorporated into virtually every program in the school because our whole world is becoming digital. And without the information from the technology, it's going to be difficult for our graduates to excel in the future. I know a program that Richard's really passionate about is our vocational education, and he supports increases in vocational opportunities, and so do I. But I'd like to review some of the current vocational offerings we have. We have a business technology program that teaches accounting and computer applications. We have a culinary arts program. We have a health professional program that trains certified nursing assistants and EMTs. We have an individual occupational training program. And I know this would touch on some of the things that Richard's concerned about. This touches on personal finance, accounting, how to manage bank accounts and credit cards. This also touches on preparing for the workplace, how to prepare a resume, how to approach an employer, how to interview for a job. We have an information technology program, which is A+. These kids just went to Boise and competed in three divisions and swept first, second, third in every category. We have an innovative design program where we teach drafting, animation, surveying. We have a journalism program. We have a natural resources program. We have a welding technology program. We have an aerospace program. We have a criminal justice program. So the conclusion is, I think that the vocational opportunities in our district are pretty extensive right now. Could they be improved? Probably. I'd also like to note that all of these programs feed into our partner at North Idaho College, which has a program they call PTech, which allows juniors and seniors in high school to start and build on their vocational training at North Idaho College, leading to an associate's degree.
Okay. Any comment on that? You got another 30 seconds or so, Richard, if you wanted to add anything else.
Well, from the students that I know, I don't know that they don't have opportunities, but even Sean Woodward had told me last week that perhaps they're not doing enough to encourage them to take these sort of classes and give them an understanding of why to go into some of the trades that are well-paying. So part of it may be just piquing their curiosity about these things.
Okay.
Thank you. This is on the state level. The state legislature recently made a move to strike new science standards in Idaho education, specifically evolution and global warming. It did not go the next step. It kind of died there, but it was introduced as a possible change in the state curriculum. And we'll start with Gary Supiger. What is your stand on this?
And well, I'm a scientist. I'm a forester. You know, I studied science in college and beyond. Fortunately, these things did not pass the state legislature, and I applaud the state legislature for rejecting these initiatives. Both of these things are accepted scientific principles. There's no debate in the scientific community. Global warming is real. Humans do have an impact on their environment. What was the other thing you asked me about?
Evolution.
Sure. Evolution. I mean, ever since Charles Darwin published The Origin of the Species, you know, almost 200 years ago now, these principles have been established. There's no debate in the scientific community. I think the school district needs to, you know, teach these things from a scientific viewpoint. No doubt about it.
Okay, thank you. The same question, Gary. Richard, do you want me to repeat it?
Oh, no.
Okay.
As far as global warming, well, from what I've been reading, they're calling it climate change now.
That's a new
word. And the climate on the planet has been changing. since forever. So there's debate, and it isn't settled science, as to exactly what is going on and what man's actual input in is, what their effect is. It. Now, sure, man's burning fossil fuels and all that does have some effect. But there is contention among scientists as to the actual effect. Is this normal or not? Is it something that's cyclical in the on the world? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a climate scientist. As far as evolution, that is not solved. And you're teaching one side of it. If you're going to teach evolution, then teach creationism alongside of it. It's a balanced approach. Even Charles Darwin, at the end of his life, said that he wasn't sure that what he found was actually evolution per se.
Well, thank you. And Chris?
We probably only have another question or two before we're going to run out of time. But along these lines of curriculum and what we teach in our schools, what, if anything, should our schools do about teaching values? For instance, should our district teach about family life or sex education or AIDS? And how should the district deal with gay and LGBTQ issues? And I think we start with you, Richard, on that.
What's a Q?
The Q is queer.
You can't say that anymore. That's unacceptable, I was told.
Well, this is the term that is being used by that community to tell about themselves.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as that goes, and what issues are you referring to?
Should the school district, specifically on family life, sex education, and AIDS, should they have a curriculum that addresses those?
Well, I believe my daughter took a health class, and they talked about STDs and different things like that. So I suppose that's being presented. As far as values, whose values and what values? Who determines which values are going to be taught and which values are right and which aren't? As far as family life, again, what are you going to teach? I mean, there's a lot of different types of families. There's nuclear families, there's single parent families, there's all sorts of different things. So I'm not sure what you're talking about there.
Well, let's just focus down on sex education. Is that an appropriate thing for the school district to teach?
It depends on what type of sex education you're going to teach. If I haven't seen that curriculum. And if you're going to teach about that, as far as sex education, then maybe get somebody in there from like, I don't know, who is that? Not Planned Parenthood, who is that other one? Life Choices and a balanced approach to it. If they're talking about STDs and there's a pre-assumption that high school kids are going to or are having sex. So perhaps the ramifications of that need to be addressed, along with the pressuring to have sex. These are sociological issues. I think they're more complex than we can get into in a 30-second interview.
Okay. Same question to you, Gary.
Values, including honesty, integrity, commitment, are teachable. Teachers are role models for students. Sex education, including AIDS, has a place in the curriculum of our public schools. Should be taught on a scientific basis and supplement what is taught at home or in the church. LGBTQ is a lifestyle practiced by a number of Americans. These people are protected by the First Amendment. The role of the school is not to judge or recognize its existence. It is not to judge and or recognize its existence, but to accommodate its members without discrimination and teach all students to be tolerant and accepting of others. Now, parents, I believe, have a role in this. I believe parents should be notified, you know, the days that sex education or AIDS education is going to be included in the curriculum. They should be able to review those materials. And if the parents choose to have not have their child participate in those discussions, I think that's their right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think we're about out of time, gentlemen. So let's give you each a couple minutes to make a closing statement, tell the voters why perhaps they should vote for you. And why don't we start with you, Richard?
You know what? I'm going to trust the voters to vote the facts and not feelings. And I trust that they'll make the best decision that and choose the person that they believe will best represent them on a school board. And I'm okay with their decision because that is what a representative government is about, the will of the people.
Thank you, Richard Miller. Gary Supiger.
Well, I want to thank you again for having us here. These discussions are really important in our community because our we are facing a very important election here. On next Tuesday, there's going to be an election. There's three seats that are contested. That's the majority of the board. There's a clear choice on all these seats. There's three people who, including myself, who support the district, support its current levels of funding, support its current programs, and want to build on its success going forward. And there's three people who don't have as much faith in the district, have not supported the levies, you know, want the district to tighten its belt and aren't fully supportive of all the programs. I'm a small business owner. I understand economy and value. In many ways, education is a business. I will use my influence on the board to use economy and budgeting and value to get our district, which is not well funded, the very best for the monies that are available.
Thank you, Gary Supiger and Richard Miller. You asked for a little more time, so we'll give you each a minute more if you like that. And go ahead.
I just want to clarify. I can't speak about any other candidate, but I'm 100% behind the school board and what they're trying to do and fixing the schools. I just think that it needs some help, and I'm offering to help them do it. Not to replace them, not to take it down, not to destroy it, but to try and make it better.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming in to KRFY, The Morning Show, and for representing and running for Zone 2 District's trustee seat for the Lake Ponderé School District. We really appreciate it. You want to talk about the forum?
Yes.
I can see that in your face.
Folks can tune in tonight right here on KRFY at 5:30 till maybe as long as 7:30 to hear the candidates' forum. Or they can show up and catch them in person. And this is an opportunity actually for people to ask questions of the candidates at the forum. The forum is actually entirely set up to take questions from the audience and ask to the candidates. And that is at the Columbia Bank Building at 5:30 again. So
hope to see you there. Yeah. Right. We're going to take a short musical break so our guests can leave the room. This is Josh Ritter, Idaho, but Chris and I will be back for a little bit more of the morning show and some information for you. Josh Ritter, Idaho. That was a little bit of Josh Ritter's Idaho, and we are here at 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show with Chris and Susie. Chris is saying goodbye to our guests. We had Zone 2 candidates on the show this morning talking about why they want to be Lake Ponderé School District Zone 2 trustee. A few things that are going on here in our area. We have KRFY is hosting with the University of Idaho Cyclocross course a Viggo Mortensen online auction. These are items include several framed and unframed photographic prints, books, and music CDs, all signed by Viggo Mortensen, artist, musician, and movie actor. And that online auction can be viewed. It's open right now. You can go to Bidding for Good. That's biddingforgood.com/KRFY. People are bidding, so you can join in the fun and support two local organizations. That's our very own community radio here in North Idaho, KRFY, and the University of Idaho Cyclocross course, which funds Team Autism 24/7. So good reasons to go to biddingforgood.com/KRFY and check out the items, the Viggo Mortensen signed items that are on that auction. Also, coming up again tonight, I'll just say it again. Chris said it a couple times. KRFY is co-sponsoring the upcoming Lake Pend'Oreille School District Trustee Candidate Forum. That's this evening, Wednesday, May 10th. And we'll be live broadcasting the forum right here at 88.5 KRFY, starting at 5:30. This public candidates forum will be held at the Columbia Bank Building. If you want to be in person, it runs from 5:30 to 7:30. This is an excellent opportunity to hear direct from the candidates. There'll be questions and answers from the audience, and you can ask about their stand on issues that are important to you or facing our public school system. So you can be an informed voter and vote on May 16th. Also coming up, KRFY is hosting their annual membership drive. That's June 10th and 9th and 10th, that's a Friday and Saturday, and we're going to be live from 8 in the morning to 8 at night. So you can come on down to the studio and join us. We're doing it this year at the studio. You can renew your membership or become a new member. If you like what KRFY is doing, it's only here because of our listener supporters. So we're hoping that to get a bunch of new members and for our current members to renew. We'll have live interviews of community interest with our underwriters, nonprofits in the community, and we're going to have local live musicians, which is always fun. So join us June 9th and 10th for live broadcasting. You can come down to the studio. That's at 323 North First Avenue and join us. And let's see, tomorrow on the morning show, we have Jim and Jack. That's Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. Their guests will be Karen Wiedelmeyer from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. We're about done. We hope you have a beautiful day. It's going to be gorgeous out there. And we're going to hear a little bit of Bruce Springsteen's My Hometown. Have a wonderful day.